6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn is out on medical leave. Morning, Ed.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Doing better. Doing better. How was the vacation?
It's good.
It's hard to call it a vacation when you're going home.
Yeah, it really is. It's just where I live. it's good. Yeah, it's good to be down there. Different life down there. Completely.
Oh, definitely.
Completely.
Good different.
And especially this time of year. Although this time of year is nice because it's not tourist season because it's so hot. So it's pretty quiet. So, traffic's lighter. Restaurants are empty. You can go in whenever you want. And ends in a couple of months. But now it's fine.
I guess that's right. I mean, Florida's more of a fall, winter tourist season. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Starts around, November and then it goes to like April, May, like that. And then they're gone.
I haven't planned my fall, winter trip to Tampa yet. Got to get on that.
Surprise.
I got to get on that, Ed. That's my place to go. I love that place down there, man.
Yeah.
That's good. So were you paying attention from afar to the trade situation with the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah.
By the way, Ramon Laureano hit a home run last night, or yesterday, I should say, for the Padres.
Shocked. Him, I think I miss him the most.
He's batting like seventh in that lineup.
Is he really?
That's funny. Lineup stat.
Yeah.
Now it is.
Yeah.
You say you'll miss him the most?
I think so. Him, I mean, of course, Mullins, although I'm happy where he went. Good for him. But that was a lot of activity. For all the questions we had about, are they going to have any activity and what are they going to do? Like, wow.
I think they were just working out the best deals for them.
Yeah.
A lot of the trades, because a lot of the rumors that I heard of where guys were going were true. Not a lot of them, but a couple of them were true. I heard Mullins to the Mets or the Dodgers. He went to the Mets.
Yep.
Laureano was rumored to the Padres. He went to the Padres. I didn't hear anything about O'Hearn. Didn't realize that they would go together. But it ended up being a good package for him. I got no complaints about it.
You knew it was going to happen. So there's no surprise. Everybody knew these guys pretty much knew who was going too. I was a little surprised at Urias.
It must suck though for him. Because you go there and you're thinking, okay, I can go there and play third base every day. And then the next day they trade for Carlos Correa. And it rumored that he would go to third base. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So he goes there to potentially have the same role that he had here in Baltimore. You may as well stay in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I know that's what he's probably thinking. But, I wish him the best. That's my guy. I love him. And I hope he has some success there. I hope he gets to the post. I hope they all get to the postseason. Because all the teams are postseason worthy and bound.
Right. So you got so many guys who can make it. Because the teams are on. They're all going to the postseason pretty much. You're talking about the Padres, the Mets,
right.
The Tigers. They went to a good team, which is exactly what you hoped for and you kind of expected. The teams that are in it need some, need some peace to fill whatever holes they might have. And they did. So, but that was a real flurry of trades, man. Woof.
Yeah. And baseball is very competitive right now. Some good things going on. The Yankees are struggling right now. In the East, AL East, it looks like it's going to be the Blue Jays and the Red Sox for right now. Yankees are really struggling. I mean, I would not want to be the manager of the Yankees. Aaron Boone seemingly is answering what's wrong with you guys every day. And it's national media.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, I am surprised the Red Sox are in second. They've done a real ninja-like creep up on that division. The Yankees dropped to third. Blue Jays look great.
Blue Jays look really good.
Yeah.
And they did it like well out there. It's safe to say that Anthony Santander was their number one free agent acquisition, right?
Yes.
And they're doing it without any productivity from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible to me.
Yeah, the Red Sox have won 8 out of the last 10. They've been on fire. And now in second place, just 3 games out.
I always go Ravens, of course, training camp. Vinny will be in the 9 o'clock hour, as always, to give us his training camp report. And I'm just letting you know, Vinny's training camp report is different.
Is it?
It's very different. It's very different.
How so?
It's just Vinny. It's Vinny being Vinny.
Yep.
But my buddy George and I always, I don't go to a lot of Ravens home games, and I always have is the one game that I go to with him. And I'm having a hard time picking what game is going to be this year.
Lions game.
I'm not going to a primetime game. I was just about to say that.
That's why I turned it down.
I'm not going to a primetime game. I'm sorry, folks. Not happening.
Well, because you're going to get home at 1 and get up at 4.
And have to talk to you about it. Yeah. No. We're not going to just watch the fourth quarter from bed and roll over.
Right.
Yeah. And go right to bed. Turn it off, go to bed. I'm not dodging the traffic. So, like, I don't really want to do the Texans because I don't think they're going to be that great this year. So, it's like between the Rams, and I know this is weird, the Rams, the Bears, or the Steelers.
Steelers is always a good choice.
Yeah, but have you seen that so many times?
I know.
Rams, I think, are going to be really good this year. And I like Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man. I don't know which one.
Jets and the Patriots do nothing for me.
I got to let them know by the end of the week.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. He's playing this thing out. You know, he's a big football dude. And he's going to Columbia, South Carolina with me this year. We're going to go to a Gamecocks.
Oh, yeah?
I'm actually going to make 3 this year.
Wow.
I'm making 3 this year. Man, new life.
Right. Yeah.
Man of the 3. Robbie's going to a couple of them with me.
I remember those days.
You remember that?
Do what you want.
Man, cheer up. Sound like you lost your favorite sidekick. Trippy, you stretch, dude. You stretch. Nobody needs to cheer up. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. To me, I think this Ravens season, I put something on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. Who's under more pressure than the Baltimore Ravens? And most people say no one, or they may name one or two teams. And someone said to me, this was their response. They're all under the same pressure. Everybody expects to win the Super Bowl. That's so untrue.
Oh, that's come on.
That is so untrue. So you're telling me that the Jaguars had the same expectations as the Bills this year?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just silly. I love people say over. Yeah, because they'll say that's the goal. What do you expect them to say?
Exactly. Yeah. That's everybody's goal in training camp. Yeah. By week 2, reality hits.
Yep.
and even in training camp, if that's your goal, goals and expectations are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, my goal is to win the Super Bowl, but what do you really expect to do? I mean, yes, your goal, but based on your roster, what are your expectations? So I don't think there's any team under more pressure going into the season than the Baltimore Ravens.
I don't either. Well, everywhere you look, I mean, I'm just looking at the Madden 26 ratings.
Uh-huh.
Guess who's number one? Baltimore Ravens. Ravens, Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Vikings, Lions, Texans. Broncos, Steelers, 49ers. Anyway, Ravens are number one and even Madden.
And it's funny you say that because I brought up the Lions. I asked him, I said, so you're telling me the Cardinals had the same amount of preseason pressure as the Lions?
Right.
That's what you're telling
me. Yeah. You can't say that. You can say whatever you want, but it makes no sense.
It's no way you believe that.
No.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fast. Speaking of Ravens, we're going to talk more Ravens at 7:15. Tyler Loop is the only kicker on the roster after the Ravens waive John Hoyland. We'll talk more about that. How do you feel about that? But on the other side, Birds played 3 very competitive games. But it's not about competition. It's about winning. They only did it once. Orioles baseball up next on the Fan.
And Justin Turner drives it out to left field, and it is gone. And the Chicago Cubs have walked off the Orioles.
Man, he tagged that one. He absolutely tagged Keegan Aiken for that two-run home run at the for the Chicago White Sox. Oh, boy. Bottom of the ninth inning with a runner on. Justin Turner comes off the bench, pitch hitting for Michael Bush, and he launches a 2-run home run into the afternoon, and the Cubs take 2 out of 3 from the Baltimore Orioles. Very competitive series. Orioles shut out in the first game of the series, and you're talking about a Chicago Cubs team that is, what, 20 games over 500 now?
Yeah.
On Friday night, Birds lose 1-0. Again, Trevor Rogers, that guy. You think that what you're seeing right now from Rogers is the real deal?
Yeah. I do. I mean, because he's been consistent. I mean, I think he's good. Yeah, I really do.
He pitches all eight innings for the Orioles. They lost, so he had to go nine.
Yeah.
Gives up one run on four hits. He threw 88 pitches, Ed, in eight innings, which to me makes me ask the question, if the Orioles tie that up in the top of the ninth inning, does he come out through the bottom of the ninth? He only threw 88 pitches. He averaged 11 pitches per inning. Does he come back out?
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that number one because that means the game is extended. So he had a great game. Burris just couldn't score a run. Offense kind of porous with losing so many hit offensive players. Then on Saturday, home run by Gunnar Henderson puts the Birds in front 4-3. Where they stay, for a three-run home run by him. And then Keegan Aiken comes in and earns his first save of the year. And then on yesterday, it looks like they were trailing most of the game. You saw before the game the Orioles made a move. They acquired or purchased the contract of Ryan Noda. Brings him up. He ends up getting a go-ahead base hit for him, but they couldn't hold on to the lead. And in fact, I think he tied the game up. I'm sorry. But they couldn't hold on to that as the Chicago Cubs scored two in the bottom of the ninth. Yeah. It's again, competitive series, and it's hard when you're cheering for Major League Baseball teams to go hang your hat on competitive series because you want to win. But
yeah,
they didn't fare that badly against the Cubs on the road.
They didn't. It just, you know, I didn't have a chance to talk to you, but like since this whole flurry of trades, I don't know what the temperature's been on this show. With callers and people happy, outraged, whatever.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. I got to figure that. You knew they're going to make moves. You knew the guys that were moved, probably the guys that were going to be moved. I mean, how many times we talk about Mullins and O'Hearn and Laureano?
You know what's happening.
Yeah, that's who's going. So, just about the return you got.
I will say this, Ed. Joe, for the one segment last week, did we have a scheduled call segment that Friday when we had to move things around? Was it a scheduled call segment?
Yeah, there was.
Okay, so we had a segment, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a scheduled call segment afterwards. We had to move things around for another call segment on that.
I'm not surprised at
all. And like I said, for me, if I'm the Baltimore Orioles, to me, even if people are bitching during that whole time, you want that. You want to correct it, but what you don't want is apathy.
Yes.
You don't want,
we always say that.
You don't want the Big Bad Morning Show doing a segment with a call segment and them stretching, trying to make that next segment work.
Yeah.
You want the fact that people care now. You want to change it and be less bitching in the future, but at least you know people are still dialed in.
Yeah. You know, well, we'll talk about Elias's reaction later. And you definitely do, though. You want people interested. You want people discussing it because that's as soon as I got landed yesterday. I was talking to my friend Michael, and First, we had the radio was playing the game. He smoked a cigar outside, and the radio's on with the game.
Where was this again?
This house.
Okay.
I was talking to him, and I just started talking about the trades. First thing out of his mouth, diehard fan, just want to talk about the Orioles and the trades in particular. And then who was heating up and who wasn't. So Gunner's heating up, and Adley got a couple of hits. And
Adley's come back pretty hot.
He has, actually, yeah.
Yeah. My whole thing with the trades, do I like them? No. You know why I don't like them? Number one, it means the team is losing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're 61-51 instead of 51-61, you're not making these trades. You're making trades, but you're adding.
Yeah.
So that, number one, is the reason I don't like them. Number two, you they're people you get used to in the clubhouse, but I don't know. I think I'm a quickly turn the page type of guy. I love them, but you quickly turn the page because you're going to cheer for these next group of guys coming up. But yeah, I don't like it, and I get why people are upset about it. But at the same time, for me, I think more of the business of the game. And right now you have a couple of people, a lot of people that you're not going to re-sign or you don't intend to re-sign or think you can re-sign. So the best thing for you to do is get some prospects for them. And for people to say, well, you're getting young guys. Why not get some major league guys? I ask this question to you. You love Cedric Mullins. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the Mets general manager and I was the Orioles general manager, which one of your major league players are you giving me for Cedric Mullins?
Yeah.
No one.
Nobody. Yeah.
I don't care how much you love him. You got to look value. There's not. Yeah. The Mets are going trying to get into the playoffs. The guys they have on their major league roster are the guys they covet. They want.
That's how they got there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the guys that they will be probably willing to give you are guys who aren't very good on the major league level and are role players. Do you really want that guy from Cedric Mullins? The only thing you're getting for those guys are prospects. That's it. It's Elias and McDell and Eves, their job to pick the best prospects who are available. That's their job.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, if you team like the Mets, I mean, they've been fighting with the Phillies all year. They're in a dead, you know, basically a dead heat in that division. Who are you giving up? You don't give any of your starters up.
No.
For Mullins. So you give up prospects. I mean, he helps them, and we need the help. So.
Yeah, you got to think. Sometimes you got to think logical. And I know it's hard to think logical when your heart is in it, but you still got to think logical.
Yeah.
You're not getting a major league player for these guys.
Ridiculous sometimes. I mean, they say things just outrageous. Like, you know, well, trade him and whatever, pick a team. They want that guy. They're like their premier player. Uh-huh. It's not happening.
It's not.
It's not happening.
I remember the old David Wright thing before Manny Machado came up.
That was the one I always go back to.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Yeah, that's who they're going to give up. Right. It's like the team captain.
Yeah. Like, number one, David Wright's not leaving for anybody. But number two, especially those guys that you suggested. Now, we don't want those guys. You don't want those guys. Why do we want those guys? You give me a bag of crap, and I'm going to give you something premier.
Yeah.
Not going to work that way. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike Elias has some reaction to he had an update on Grayson Rodriguez and what's going on with him. There's something not right about that. I don't question whether or not he's coming back in 2025. I question whether he'll be available for 2026. We'll talk about that at 6:45. But on the other side, same guy, Mike Elias, gave an apology to the fan base for the way the season has gone. But did he really need to? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Where will Micah Parsons land? Can Jerry Jones screw this up even more than he already has? We'll talk about that at 7:30. But right now, Orioles general manager Mike Elias spoke to the media over the weekend. Actually, he did Friday. He addressed many things, including his relationship with the fan base.
We are sorry that 2025 has gone this way. A lot had to go wrong, and it has. And, you know, we're addressing that. And part of it is doing the right thing by the talent in the organization with the deadline. Between the draft and the deadline, we've had an enormous injection of talent to the organization. It's going to benefit us short term, but also long term. And it needed to be done, and we executed well in those constraints. We have an extremely exciting group of young players on the Orioles that we've all come to enjoy, and these guys are still here. They're fighting hard. They're aware as a group of where we're at and very determined to do better going forward. So these guys are still here as the heart and soul, and they are still with us. And we have a great place to start as we build for the rest of 2025 and 2026.
Ed North, do you feel that an apology was necessary?
I don't know if it's necessary. I think it was a great idea, though. I think it was, instead of just ignoring the obvious that they've had a terrible season, incredibly disappointing. I think it was a smart move, and in a way, maybe it was necessary.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it was more thinking about it. Because people have been obviously, you know, clamoring to get some answers. What are we doing? What's the plan? And even up to the trade deadline, you know, you still didn't quite know. You knew in your heart they had to make a big dump. They're going to get rid of, you know, a lot of names you knew, but I did like the explanation because it just helps. I even when I was a police chief, I was like, people have an amazing capacity for the truth. Even if it's painful, you tell people the truth, they just want to hear it.
You can deal with it.
They don't want silence. They don't want, what was the biggest, you know, criticism of Dennis Pitta after that drop last year?
We didn't hear from him.
You didn't hear from him.
He said Dennis Pitta, though. Mark Andrews.
I'm sorry. You're right. I did. How the hell did that come up? Anyway, yes. Oh, God, I'm old. Anyway. But yes, but Andrews didn't speak up. That was the biggest criticism. And I just think that was, you know, Elias came up and said, look, things went wrong. A lot of things went wrong. I'm sorry about the season. Yeah, I think people want to hear that. And now, and they did what they had to do. You can't keep what you had and have this go on forever. Well, you know, so what's the option? So they did it. You know, you just you take a deep breath, you swallow hard, you just pull the trigger, bang, and now all these guys are gone. You get a ton of prospects back, and we'll see where we go from here. But it had to happen, and I'm glad he did it. I was happy to hear that. I did like the bongos in the background. I don't know if somebody
that noise. That was sound courtesy of our good friend Rock Abaco.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Rock does his Twitter updates, yeah. So I think that was Rock banging on the keyboard.
Was it really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what that was.
It was very rhythmic.
I got the sound also from another source, but I'd already sent that to Joe, so uh-huh. I just let that go.
I thought it was very funny. I thought it sounded like somebody's playing the bongos. Rock
types well, fast.
Apparently.
You and I don't need an apology, Ed.
No.
But we don't operate like everybody. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying rational and irrational. We all build differently. There's some people right there who are so heartbroken over the season.
Mm.
Imagine the financial investment that some made. The traveling. You know what I mean? The Orioles Orioles had big crowds traveling with them. And they still do. But those people made financial investments. Those people sacrificed some vacation, maybe a purchase for their home, the season ticket holders. You know, those are the people that need apologies. They do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You owe them an apology. And I think Mike Elias knew that. And I know the people that Mike Elias surrounds himself with, and I'm not saying that he wouldn't have done it on his own, but I guarantee you those people who he surrounds himself with told him, psst, Mike, when you address the public, you better say something about this and how this went.
Yeah.
You have to
you
do
have
it.
To.
And if Mike didn't think about it when they told him, I guarantee he didn't fight it. But I'm pretty sure he probably thought about it himself as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was the right thing to do because there are people, we don't make the financial investment on these teams that most fans make. In our position, we don't. But I've been there before. I've been, you know, online or on hold trying to get tickets and knowing that if I get these tickets this week, what can I not do? All right. If I travel to this, what am I not? There are people who make those real decisions.
Absolutely they do. I think most people make those decisions. You know, like I said, we always talk about disposable income dollars for entertainment, and that's the decisions you make. If I do this, well, then we can't go out Friday night, but we can go to the game and have, you know, they have that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot. And then when you have a disappointing season where you're not having, there's no good product on the field, that sucks.
And that's a position that you don't want to be in. I don't want to have to apologize to anybody. I never want to have to apologize to anybody. I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when your apology means you were wrong.
Yeah.
You did something wrong.
Yes.
Something didn't go the way you planned for it to go. Even when you thought you were right, it didn't go that way. And other people were involved in it. Other people were hurt by it. So there you have to have an apology. So to me, hats off to him for doing the right thing. Now, for me, I think I can speak for you as well, Ed, on this. You know what the ultimate apology is for me?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be here again. That's the ultimate apology. The ultimate apology for me is next year be 61-51 right now instead of 51-61. You never have to say a word to me.
Yeah.
Show me. I don't need words. Just show me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Pivot. Just
pivot. Yeah.
Just make it about face, man. Let's go. You know, so the rest of the season is going to be different because you don't have all the guys you expect to have, but I get it. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to, was that Spree? Spree, what's up? Spry. What's up, Spry?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Can you turn your radio down?
I'm on a speaker.
Okay.
Outside.
All right.
Yeah, it's my first time calling you guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
You know, this goes all the way back to 2022.
Okay.
You know, when we first started getting good and we realized that we had a good team. And remember, we was kind of like in the playoff picture, but kind of out.
Uh-huh.
And he let it roll and didn't do anything. Now, we did win the division. But then that year, too, he sat pat. And last year, he did the same thing and then had two terrible off seasons. And, of course, we didn't re-sign the pitcher, of course, he got hurt, but that was a blessing in disguise. But
Spry, let's go back to 2022. Your timeline is wrong, man, because they got good after the trade deadline. After they got rid of people, they got good. After the trade deadline, they won like five in a row. And if I'm the seven of the next eight or something of that, yeah. That's when they got better. They were under 500 or right at 500 on the trade deadline. That's when they got better. So the timing on that is not correct. They became an above 500 team after the trade deadline.
Okay, I thought it was right before the All-Star break, and then we rolled in. Okay,
No. They were right around 500 at the trade deadline, the end of July, and then they went over 500 after that because they went on a run. Because I remember telling everybody's crying over, oh, they're going to trade Mancini, and I remember Ed, you may too. This team might get better after that because you got better guys behind him who are going to play. You didn't want to trade Lopez. Yeah, you do want to trade Lopez because the real closer is this guy named Bautista. Remember those conversations?
Absolutely.
And Bautista became, for a while, the best closer in baseball. 100%. So this didn't happen in 20. This, he didn't do anything wrong in 2022. Team became better after they dumped some people off in 2022. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're giving out shovels at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Elias also spoke on his right-hand starting pitcher, Grayson Rodriguez, who we haven't seen this year. When will we see him? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:48 in the a.m. on this manic Monday. Where is Grayson Rodriguez? I'd like to say that I'm surprised that he's not back yet, but when we started getting some of the reports in like late May, early June, and I didn't expect him to be back for 2025. In fact, I didn't expect him to be back before Kyle Bradish. Let's just say that.
I didn't either. And I was very pessimistic about him more than anybody, only because of his history.
Right.
I'm like, nah, I ain't buying any of this. And now, like, no big surprise. And I'm still not optimistic for this year.
I'm kind of worried about 2026. This is what Mike Elias had to say about his right-handed starter.
Grayson's, he's had a tough year. If you recall, he was feeling some elbow impingement during spring training, and we had to shut him down and start him back up. Unfortunately, that has kind of reappeared. At the time, that was the opinion of all medical parties, and including outside opinions, to treat the injury conservatively before we go diving into an elbow surgery. Now with this recurring, I think that option is back on the table, and this would not be an elbow reconstruction. It would be a debridement of some bone that needs to be removed or can be removed. And if we go through with this, which is a possibility here in the next few days, it'll put him down for the rest of 2025, but it'll put him in a position to return for 2026 spring training. So we'll have an official update on that if and when that takes place, but that is now increasingly in the conversation.
There you go. So not a reconstruction surgery, which would put 2026 in jeopardy. I don't know. Let me ask you this. This whole pushback, medically speaking, do you think this is the Orioles staff or this is Grayson Rodriguez on his end?
What is? The news coming out this way or the injury itself?
Let me give you what I believe and you'll understand the question. Grayson Rodriguez keeps asking for second and third opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the Orioles saying, well, maybe this is wrong, maybe that is wrong, maybe this is wrong. I think this is on Grace's end saying, okay, I hear what you're saying, but let me get somebody else to look at it.
Right.
I think, though, this thing is stretching out more and more.
Yeah, what this reminds me of, I think you're right, and I don't know, obviously.
No, we don't know.
Don't know. But it does remind me a bit of the Jack Eichel thing. In the NHL, where he had an injury, and he wasn't happy with what the Sabres were doing, and just kept questioning. He said, no, and it was him. And eventually, he just does what he had, ended up going to the Golden Knights. But kind of similar, where he wasn't happy with the team's reaction to it. So it could very well be that where I hear you, but I got to protect myself.
So if you can't, you can't go to doctor number four. Doctor number four tells you what you want. And ignore what the first three doctors told you.
Yes.
There's some truth in what the first three told you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The fourth doctor, I'm not saying he's not qualified.
What's funny is say that because people always ask me because I've had so many I've had so many surgeries in the last year. People, did you get a second or third opinion? How do you know the second opinion's right?
Exactly.
How do you know? They could be wrong. First doctor may be right. I don't know.
Like, so what do you say? Let's go 2 out of 3.
Right. Yes.
It's like, it's the best of 3.
I mean, I love that. Oh, well, there, the second opinion said no. Well, then I'm not getting anything done. Okay.
I'm telling you now, man. He ain't pitching this year.
He's not pitching this year.
And
why would you this year?
And I don't know. I hear Mike Elias. I believe he believes what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But until I see him in 2026, I don't know Grayson Rodriguez's status on then. Mm-mm. I got to see him. Mike, I think you believe what you're saying. I got to see this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got to see it because I have very little confidence in him coming back at all, maybe. Just because after a while, it's like, I've seen this. You know, we've all seen this, you know, this movie where he's good. Oh, now he's not. Oh, now it's a lot. Nope, now it's this. Like, I don't know. I really don't. I don't really have a lot of faith in him coming back.
Kyle Bradish, I think we'll see him this year.
Yeah.
We'll see him in September probably. Grayson?
Yeah.
Baltimore. Mike, what's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you, man?
All right, man. We went from thinking they had enough talent to get to the World Series this year to pretty much not gutting, but retooling everything. But, man.
I like that. Retooling. I like that.
Yeah. If they don't do something to get an impact player somewhere, I don't know who, where, what, when, but they got to get some impact, proven major league player. They got to make some kind of deal in the offseason.
Mike, I want two players in the offseason who've had playoff success. I want two.
Exactly.
I want a pitcher and I want a position player who've had playoff. That pitcher could be in the bullpen or in the rotation, doesn't matter. But I need two players who've had playoff success in the majors.
We got to do that. And I want to get this in real quick. I'm doing like Haney, I'm digressing. But remember when Jay-Z, when Obama was elected president, and Jay-Z was saying, my president is black, and he was so proud.
Yeah.
Well, when I found out that my man Ed, my fellow Brooklynite, was a freak, it's just made me so proud. My commissioner is a freak. I am so happy about that. Oh, lover boy Ed.
That just got dark.
Hey, what are you going to do?
That got dark real good.
It's just I am who I am.
Popeye. And Joe, of course, with the I don't know emoji just now. Like, where'd that come from? Mike's worse than me. You guys got to admit, with his squirrels.
Oh, for sure.
He's worse than me. You know, my squirrels are somewhat contained, somewhat. His is just all over the road map.
Yes.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Tyler Loop is the only kicker on the roster after the Ravens waived John Hoyland. How do you feel about that? We'll talk about that at 7:15. You can even chime in. But on the other side, Ed North, we have shovels.
Yeah. Well, this goes to a 27-year-old woman who left a... You know how you say you see something, say something? She leaves something on a bus. And you're not going to believe what the bus driver found in the bag.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS 1057 The Fan. Shovels next.